shape of energy similar to the energy in a pineapple over. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verily, we granted unto you Kawthar. So turn to your Lord in prayer and make a sacrifice. Surely it is your enemy who shall be without posterity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad for the love of Allah. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you all for being here on this auspicious day. Especially the women, I'd like to say congratulations on World Women's Day. Today we're here to celebrate the birth of Fatima al-Zahra, who is the best figure that we can use to commemorate this day, World Women's Day. Each year we celebrate her birthday, and in each year we conjure images of piety, of glory, and of knowledge and wisdom. All of these characteristics are characteristics and attributes that we should all aspire to have. She was generous and she was devoted, and we aspire to this generosity and this devotion to be more like her. However, despite our aspiration of being devoted and being generous, these aspirations don't actually create generosity or devotion. What they create are imagery and symbolic gestures toward this greatness. We were born with certain traits, but there are also all these identities that we admire and try to comprehend. We comprehend these identities by grouping them, by grouping these characteristics into categories. Humans tend to categorize these characteristics into black and white, or polar opposites. So for example, rarely do you hear characteristics like sincerity going alongside political astuteness, or religious supremacy going alongside open-mindedness. Grouping these characteristics like this makes it easier for us to understand people. Makes it easier for us to understand ourselves and to understand others. We feel safer when we have these characterizations. We feel safer because we not only can understand ourselves better, but we can understand others better. We know what we are because we're not that. We know what you are because you're not this, you're this. For example, if somebody wants to be successful in politics, for example, we take into consideration that they may be shrewd or they may not be upfront with all their intentions, because in our minds we have this understanding, this stereotype of categorization that says one can be like this if they want to be successful in politics. Same goes for someone who, let's say, wants to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that they're not going to be... We'll have excuses for them from being disengaged from society. We're not going to expect someone who is extremely devout, and I mean like to the top of supremacy and religious supremacy. We're not going to expect them to be the most social and most outgoing of people, because we have this idea in our mind of what people are and how they should behave regarding their characters. For example, we have an idea in our mind of what an alim deen should be and how they should act in society. And when these expectations of behavior are broken, we become upset, we become shocked, we become confused. We become upset, for example, if we have an idea of what an alim deen should behave like and they behave differently. And this idea of stereotyping is simplistic in the sense that it's only natural to believe that one person who encompasses these characteristics are going to behave in a certain way. But these stereotypes are not as simplistic as they seem, and they can create very negative reverberations that can be felt for generations. And I'm speaking specifically of how Muslims perceive the way we behave in society, the way non-Muslims behave, and the way our children as Muslims should behave. So these acts of characterization and stereotyping can be very detrimental. So for example, let's study the way the media portrays Muslim women. We're always represented as being degraded, as being, only staying at home, as not having many rights, as being lowly educated. And we know all of these stereotypes are ridiculous. Because Islam has given to women what no other religion has given. However, I pose the question to you, even though we say this and we refute all the media claims and all these stereotypes that non-Muslims give to us about women, who amongst us truly, really believes in women the way that Islam, the perfected religion, has shown what a Muslim woman's status to be? And I'm talking about myself as well. We expect women to act in a certain way. We want our daughters, of course, to be educated, responsible, and caring. However, all of us act, including myself, a little surprised when we see a woman has reached these goals that Islam has not only desired for her, but expected of her to reach. So for example, we all act a little surprised when we hear a Muslim woman has a master's degree, or owns her own business, or is financially sustainable, self-sustainable. It's not that we don't want her to have these characteristics, but we all don't expect her to have these characteristics. So there's always a little bit of shock, like, oh, you have your master's, because you're not expecting me to have my master's.
Yes.
So why was Lady Fatima revered as the most important female figurehead in Islam? Of course, aside from being divinely ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fatima signified to us the ability to overcome these stereotypes, and the ability to overcome all odds and difficulty. She broke these preconceived misconceptions of how one should and shouldn't act. And she showed us that breaking these misconceptions can be challenged and channeled into great success. Fatima is Fatima, because she didn't conform to what society expected of her. We know and admire Fatima, not because of who she was born, but because in her short life, she exceeded all the bounds of what we would have normally expected a woman to do living in her time, even today. Fatima continues to invoke this admiration because she was able to transcend all these characterizations of character. Not simply because she was a good mother, a good devotee, good at political affairs, but because she showed us that you can be devoted and know of social and worldly affairs. You can be pious and modest without shying away from controversy or public concerns. You can be a dedicated mother and daughter without being fully consumed with these attributes and only being seen as a caregiver. When the dispute over Fadak happened, Fatima didn't appoint someone on her behalf to argue her rights. Fatima approached Abu Bakr herself. She demanded what was rightly hers be given back to her. And one can analyze the situation in many ways. One way we can analyze it is that it's the ultimate rift between Sunni and Shias. It showed us that there was a direct command from Fatima, from the Prophet, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what is rightfully owned by someone cannot be illegitimately taken and not given back. This is the basis. On this one story, the Shia can base all their beliefs and justify to the point of divergence from their Sunni brothers and sisters. This sole act can conjure enough arguments to sustain the legitimacy of Fatima and Ahlul Bayt and to prove the illegitimacy of Abu Bakr and his companions, just from this one story. The story of Fadak can also prove, of course, the strength of character of Fatima. Like I said, she approached Abu Bakr, the Khalif, and arguably the most powerful person at the time. She demanded her rights. She publicly condemned him. She refused to speak to him until the day of her untimely death. Now this isn't something that was expected of women, let alone anyone, and especially in that time. Fatima showed us and broke to us the concept that women should be seen and not heard with this act alone. We can analyze the story of Fadak as a story to carry ourselves in, on how to carry ourselves as Muslims in this society. You see, Muslims today, I feel, have kind of reached a point of identity crisis. We feel like we're unable to functionally stay within these traditional characterizations that have been traditionally set on us. The lines of these stereotypes, of these character traits, aren't as clean as they were before. You know, we want material success as well as spiritual success, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want the benefits of the here, and inshallah, we want the benefits of the hereafter. However, the nature of this characterization is limiting because we feel uncomfortable. We feel uncomfortable trying to attain, for example, financial success or social success because we feel like we're lacking somehow in our spiritual success and vice versa. We want to have spiritual success, but we feel it's impossible to do both simultaneously. We want to be like Fatima, but we feel her level of piety and success are unattainable today, especially here, living here. So we have these dilemmas of living. We feel lost. We don't know how to be spiritual and continue to maintain the social norms and means of being successful here. So Fatima was successful to us because she showed us that this was possible. It was possible to do this duly, to have both spiritual success and social success. So one example that I can think of are, I know of many brothers and sisters who decide to move, you know, so to speak, back east from west when their children start to arrive close to the teenage years. They fear that their children are going to become lost to westernized culture. they see that as it is difficult for them, it'll be almost impossible for their youth to have simultaneous success. It would be impossible for their youth to take what's good from Canadian culture but maintain their Islamic identity. On the one hand, I feel, you know, I sympathize because raising teenagers, whether it's Muslim teenager or non-Muslim teenagers, is difficult in and of itself. But on the other hand, you know, allowing this fear to take hold of us, to feel like we can't have the success, we can't allow our children to live here because they're never going to be grown up to be successful in this life and as Muslims, is counterproductive. You know, I'm a product of Western culture, and I know how difficult it is to maintain your Islamic identity here. But it's not impossible. And because of this, I know how vital it is for the parents to play the role in getting their children ready to face these challenges. It's our responsibility as parents to equip our children with the right tools to overcome these stereotypes. You know, we have to teach them not to feel that they have to overcompensate, especially in the world that we live in now. After 9/11, it's a stigma to be a Muslim. It's hard enough to be a teenager, but on top of that, they have to be Muslim teenagers. We should put our energy in strengthening our children's identity as a Muslim. We have to work on our children's self-worth. You know, make them know that they don't need to conform to these set stereotypes. Make them realize that being a Muslim shouldn't be something that works against you. They shouldn't feel the need to disengage from their non-Muslim counterparts because of your fear of them being dragged into haram. On the contrary, we should feel that strengthening and knowing their Muslim identity will not only make them stronger as a person, but will allow them to overcome these difficulties. If we instill this in them from birth, if we instill in them that they are good, that they're strong, that they're in the right, it's bound to rub off even a little bit on their hearts. And it's bound to make those extremely difficult situations they're going to face a little bit easier. So for example, Fatima was called the mother of her father. And we all know the open love that the Prophet had for his daughter and the open respect and affection he used to show to her. The Prophet of Islam used to get up from his seat and allow his daughter to sit in his spot. He used to ask for permission to enter the room when she was sitting in there. So how, if a father treats his daughter in such a manner, with such open love, with such open affection and respect, how would Fatima grow up not to reciprocate this love to him? How, if we teach our children and push them towards the greatness of Islam and towards this, you know, towards the fact that this religion can give you strength as a person, it can make you good. If we show them that, if we focus on not only what we can't do as Muslims, that's what we tend to do usually. We tend to focus on the things that we can't do as Muslims, not on the things that we can do. If we focus on these positive attributes of the religion, how can they not grow up with a little bit of affection in their hearts for their religion? It's bound to rub off on them a little bit. Give them the confidence to be able to intermingle in high school with their counterparts. Give them the confidence to know that they don't have to suffocate in some of the traditional things that we put on our daughters. Let them know that the notion of falak was one of justice. All the countless stories of Fatima showing her bravery and showing how she stood up for justice are proofs to us on how we can teach our, especially our daughters, of the strength of the religion and the strength of Fatima as a character. Fadak is only one example, but I like to use it because it shows Fatima's not only courage, but it shows her political astuteness. And these are two characteristics that aren't always likened to women. And the sad truth is that when they are likened to women, usually they're likened in a negative way. Why is it that Fatima is seen as, you know, something good for possessing these characteristics, but many a time we see them as negatives when we look at our own wives, at our own daughters, at our own sisters when they possess these attributes? I've been told to wrap up, so basically what I'd like to say is that Fatima was human like us, and she attained this greatness because Allah gave her the strength, but because she was strong herself. We too are human, and we too can attain and achieve this greatness. Ahlul Bayt deserved our love because they opened this road for us. They opened the fact that we can break these stereotypes and still conquer and be stronger as individuals. We don't have to be tied down with these traditions. We don't have to feel that we have to behave and act in a certain way because we're Muslims or because we're women. And we can achieve the simultaneous success of spirituality and social success that Fatima Zahra achieved. Rashid. I pray to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives us the strength to be able to do this. And I thank you for your time, and congratulations one more time on this auspicious day. Thank you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.